so on the front six, great size on the right field. That's all he's got it.
They run it up the gut with Giannis. 50 gets a block. He's up the middle. The 20, the 10, the 5, touchdown.
You're listening to WSJP, the St. Joe's Prep Student Broadcasting Club Radio, and the voice of all things prep.
Your St. Joe's Prep Hawks are state champions.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Executive Order, the first of many episodes that we're going to be bringing you throughout this year. I'm your host, Dan Amick, and we are live from St. Joe's Prep in room 104. I'm here with my co-vice presidents, John Liuzzi and Ricky Weeps, and today we'll be bringing you live our very first Executive Order show. We got a live studio audience over here with a couple inexperienced WSJP members getting to know what a show is like, and today, we're just going to be talking about all things St. Joe's Prep. So, Ricky, you got anything to say before we start on our first topic?
Well, I think this is definitely a big step for the club, Dan, so glad to be a part of it.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we've been talking about this show for at least a year now. Last year, we came up with the title, and then we never executed. But this year, we had the football bye week, and I was like, yo, guys, let's do a spotlight show. And then that didn't work out. So then we did this Executive Order show, and I mean, it worked perfectly. It was just perfect timing. And now we're going to bring in John Liuzzi. John, how are you doing today?
I'm doing great, Dan. Like you said, this has been in a year of work, and I'm just happy that we can finally do it here.
All right. So today we're going to be talking all things St. Joe's Prep. I mean, we have all the fall sports to talk about. We have the Cape and Sword Drama Society performing Newsies, one of the four schools in the country. We're going to be talking about the new schedule, talking about some shakeup in mission and ministry, and then we'll be wrapping things up. So before you know it, this will be over. So make sure that you stay tuned the entire time. We want that completion rating to be at 100, right, John? Yeah, definitely. All right, so first we're going to talk about the St. Joe's Prep football team. So, Ricky, why don't you get us started on this topic, St. Joe's Prep football.
St. Joe's Prep 4-0 on the year. And they're coming off a monster victory against Archbishop Carroll, where they handled them pretty well through the second half of the game, despite only being up 10-0. I'm sure a lot of Hawks fans were wondering why there wasn't that much firepower in their offense at the start of the game, but it definitely got progressively into the blowout territory and hopefully the first of many for the Hawks this year.
And Simon described that one as a monster truck rally, basically, up in Radnor. The Hawks just didn't look too great in the first half, and then they just came out guns blazing in the second half, and C.J. Duell had a touchdown, Kyle McCord had a touchdown, a couple different Hawks were able to get their first varsity touchdown in that game, so great game overall for the Hawks. And now, John, we're going to let you speak a little bit about the prep games prior to that.
Yeah, guys, especially from when we first started off in Tampa against Jesuit, we really, coming into the season, we didn't really know what our offensive line was going to look like and how the running game for the prep was going to could come out and play this year. After a few games of some struggle with the offensive line and running game, those two have been formed. They have some unifying between both. The running game has been working really well lately, and it's been picking up recently as it did last year. But they're really going towards Colby Burrell and Marcus Mason to be their running backs this year, and they especially against Archbishop Wood. We really saw a great running game right there against the Vikings, especially in a tough PCL game. And, you know, the offensive line, for them being very inexperienced, they've been pretty well.
Yeah, John, I would definitely agree with that. I mean, you can catch all those games right here on our channel, blogtalkradio.com/WSJP. We have all the football games from this season. We went down to Tampa Jesuit. Simon Williams and I called that game, and then we came back up here, played at Widener against St. Peter's Prep. John and Ricky were on that call, and I know that John had a great time doing that one. And then against Archers of Wood 2 weeks ago, I believe, that was John and I, and we absolutely killed that one. I feel like that was one of our club's best broadcasts in the past couple of years. And then last week, Big Rick, you took your first stab at play-by-play. So You can catch all of those broadcasts right here on our channel, blogtalkradio.com/WSJP, your home for all things St. Joe's Prep. So moving to the future a little bit as far as the football team goes, the Hawks have a bye week this week, as we talked about earlier. So they have a little bit of off time, as Tyler Conrad, one of our live studio members, he is a football team manager now, and he said that they have a couple days off now because of the bye week, so it gives them some much needed rest. But then they're coming back and they don't get a week break from there on out. They have a game against Roman, then a game against Judge, then LaSalle, and then they play Ryan, and then we're right into the playoffs and have the PCL semifinals, PCL championship, and then it's state playoffs from there on out. So not a lot of breaks for the Hawks coming up, Ricky.
No, certainly, but this bye week comes at a pretty good time for the Hawks, considering they played three out of their four first games. They played pretty worthy opponents that were relatively competitive games coming in, but the Hawks definitely took care of business to start the year. And I think this bye week comes at a great time, especially before you get in the Catholic League play completely with teams like Roman and Judge, and then LaSalle is going to be the big one coming up.
Oh, certainly. And we're going to do a quick preview of those next three games because at least one of us is going to be on the call of that game. So, John, I know you're going to be doing play-by-play for that Roman game. So would you mind talking a little bit about that Roman team?
Yeah, Roman really has – they're losing a lot of players from last year's team. They're losing their quarterback, Anthony Butler. They're losing their two top wide receivers. The wide receiver last year was led by Joey Bristow, and their entire defensive line left last year. So they're in a rebuilding process. But I've been reading up on this team lately, and their defensive line is not bulky and big as last year's, but they pay back for that by being more athletic as last year's team. They're much faster to get into the quarterback, and also the running game. They do have a running back coming back, Marquise Cooper, and he's coming back. He was a big part of last year's team for Roman. He saw some time against us in the two games that we played against Roman last year. And you know, the offense is really the struggle for this team as they're falling 0-4. They have a very inexperienced quarterback, and you know, their quarterback is not the best quarterback to play, but he's smart. He doesn't have a strong arm. But his football IQ is one of the best the Romans have seen lately. So their coaches speak very highly on that. But also their defensive line, Dan. Their defensive line is led by sophomore Fraser, who's the grandson of Joe Fraser, the boxer. And you know, the Fraser, they're very tough, and he's leading this as a sophomore on a defensive line that's very inexperienced. So the coaching staff is putting a lot of trust into him and being the key part of not only the defensive line, but the entire defense as a leader. So the defense for the Roman is there, but the offense is not there much.
Yes, so St. Joe's Prep versus Roman, that one's going to be at Widener next Saturday, I believe, at 7 p.m. So make sure you tune into that game right here. It is certainly going to be a good one. John will have the play-by-play for that game. We'll have a couple returning guys on color with John, so you'll be able to get a bit of a new perspective than the ones that we've had in the past couple weeks coming from pretty much only four of us. So that game should certainly be interesting between the Hawks and the Roman Catholic Cahillites. And then the week after that, exactly a week, on October 14th, the Hawks will take on the Father Judge Crusaders out of Northeast Philadelphia. I'm proud of my Northeast heritage, guys, and so I decided that I was going to take that game, and I'm going to be the play-by-play announcer for that one. So just to give a little description of the Crusaders, they come in this season losing a ton of starters from last season. I mean, they have a quarterback who's pretty decent, but then again, their team just isn't exactly as strong as we've seen in the past. Their defense isn't really too strong. Their offense has kind of been lacking in the past couple weeks, even though they do have some nice threats in the deep game like Steve Arrington and a couple other players that certainly can provide a spark for the Crusaders. But on the defensive side of the ball, they're really slacking. They have a lot of players that go two ways, like Tim Weldon is a starting running back and a defensive end, Mike Jacoby and Mike Waring, and Sam Pisoni. So their entire defensive line plays on the offense as well. And then a couple linebackers, corners, and safeties either play running back, receiver, or tight end for their offense. So they have a lot of two-way players, which we saw a lot against Archers of Wood, but especially against the St. Joe's Prep team that's so well-conditioned and so deep I have a feeling that's going to be an extreme problem for Father Judge to have to overcome. But they, as I mentioned earlier, they do have a strong quarterback in Shane Dooley, also a starter for the basketball team. This is his first season starting, but he certainly is a very strong player, and he has the ability to do a lot of stuff out there on the field. And he certainly has a couple of weapons out there. He has a speed guy in Caleb Joseph, the slot receiver, and a running back. And then he has Steve Arrington and Nick Conway out of the outside receiver spots. And then Tim Weldon is a power back. He's actually more fullback size. He also plays defensive end, but we're going to see him in that starting running back spot. So certainly going to be an interesting one. That one, the kickoff will be at 7 o'clock on October 14th at Northeast High School, pretty far from most prep students, but I love playing at Northeast, Ricky.
Well, then, and then after Father Judge, St. Joe's Prep takes on their arch rival, LaSalle. So you know that's going to be a really a highlighted game of that week. But it's also going to be quite competitive, as they have been in years past. And LaSalle this year, they're showing what they have. They're 4-1, and their first game of the year, they played a very highly talented football program in North Penn, and they were able to beat them by 13 points. But one thing for LaSalle this year that's hurt them is that they lost their starting quarterback, Isaiah Jones, in week two. So that allowed Danny Selecki to take over, and he's done a pretty good job so far beating teams like Malvern. They played Carroll a couple weeks ago, and last week they beat Archbishop Ryan pretty handily. So they play Father Judge next week, as you mentioned. But also some other players to watch out for on this Explorers team is Liam Traynor, who's committed to Delaware. He's a tight end and linebacker two-way player. He's a returning second-team All-Catholic in both positions, and he did dare DeAndre Swift to rush up the middle against them last year. And I'm pretty sure we all know what the result of that game was, Dan.
Yeah, I mean, DeAndre, 7-0 was in full effect during that game. He ran up the middle and scored 7 touchdowns. So Traynor's bet that Dre wouldn't run up the middle certainly didn't come to fruition. But Ricky, as you mentioned, without an extremely talented team, they return a lot of starters on their offensive and defensive line. And overall, they're just a rather deep team that I don't think the Hawks have really seen all season long. They have Manny Keilis and Octavius Carter as the two running backs, two different style runners. Keilis is more of he runs right up the middle and gets hit hard, and Carter is more of an outside back that'll go around the tackles. And then they have a couple great receivers in Troy Holland, Brett Malley, and Marvin Harrison Jr., the son of former Colts great Marvin Harrison. And then, as I mentioned, their O-line and D-line are really strong, but their defense runs an interesting style. They run, most of the time, they run a 4-2-5, so they have 4 on the D-line, 2 linebackers, and then 5 in the defensive backfield, which we see sometimes out of the Hawks when teams run a 4 wide, but you don't really see that happen all that often. So I think the Hawks are going to have to do a lot of game planning in order to prepare for that. And one thing I do want to mention, a hot contest sort of involving the Gridiron, LaSalle also has a broadcasting club. I was watching that broadcast last night. They certainly do have a great program up there. I believe one of the adults runs it, and he has students do color commentary. So a little bit of a battle there between WSJP and some fellow student organizations. So we'll see how that goes. And I think John Liuzzi has something to say about that.
Well, Dan, you say that there is some competition between us, but I don't think that they're activity of the year like we are. So we know we're already higher than them, or we know that we're better. So,
yeah, I mean, Ricky said it first. Those are fighting words, that's in John. And I think John is coming out a little harsh there. I don't really know how to respond to that one, Ricky.
Well, John always hold the hot takes. You never know what he's going to say.
All right, so moving on from that comment from Ricky. Good work there from Rick. But the final game of the regular season for the Hawks will be against the Archbishop Ryan Raiders, who I watched a little bit of film as they played against LaSalle, and that was the broadcast that I watched last night. So Ryan runs a bit of an unorthodox they run some kind of unorthodox plays. I mean, I saw them do two fake punts in one drive, one time where they didn't even have an offensive line. They just some person went up, stood up, grabbed the ball, and just threw it back to somebody, and they just ran ahead, and somehow it worked. So if the Hawks are able to pull something like that off, then maybe they're going to be able to have a chance here, Ricky.
Well, yeah, Dan, you never know what you can expect from the Hawks offense, especially in punt situations. We saw a lot of that last year with Richard Carr either getting the punt and throwing it down the field or running some misdirections in just normal shotgun formations, allowing Marquez McCray. Pretty sure he had a touchdown reception against Archbishop Wood last year on a trick play. So you never know what to expect sometimes.
I certainly agree with that, Ricky. And then once the Hawks get there, the opponent is not going to be known as they're getting into the playoffs, and it's one and done pretty much. So if the Hawks lose then they're out for the rest of the season. So we'll see once we get there. But, you know, we still have four broadcasts left until those playoffs come. So plenty of stuff still to happen. Make sure that you catch those broadcasts right here on blogtalkradio.com/WSJP. So now we're going to stay on the football topic just for a couple more minutes, and we're just going to talk about a couple key players for the Hawks. And, John, I know that this week you did an interview for the Hawkeye on Brandon Sanders, the captain and wide receiver for the Hawks team. So do you want to talk a little bit about the results of that interview that you conducted?
Yeah, you know, guys, Brandon Sanders is a senior wide receiver this year. He's been stepping up as the number one wide receiver as Daryl Simmons is out with a torn Achilles tendon injury right now. And, you know, I was just asking Brandon simple stuff, like what does it mean to be a captain? Why did he's committed to Bucknell University to play there next year for football. Asked him what was really the philosophy and the reason behind that. And also, what is he looking forward to most this year? And Brandon said being a captain is a great honor for him. He said it means that his teammates consider him as one of the top leaders on the team. And he really wants to make an impact on those players who see that in him. And he just really wants to embrace the leadership role on the team and help those younger guys who are going to be still developing in the program to be where he is right now as a senior. And his goal of this season is just spend his last season with his best friends. This is his brothers right here on this team, and this team truly is a separate brotherhood besides the brotherhood here at the prep. And he just really wants to enjoy the time on the field with his brothers, and because the past 3 years have been really special to him and all. And said really he chose Bucknell over all the other colleges because when he sat down with his family, he looked at all options, and a combination of athletics and academics, he believed both fit here at Bucknell, and that's where he saw them his best fit. And I also talked about this year St. Joe's Prep football team will be has the Ryan Hilliard jersey number 30 on the field with all the captains as this would be Ryan's senior year. And he said, I asked Brandon, what does it mean to himself and also the team of why he has, what the resemblance and the symbolism of the jersey is. And he said, just having Ryan's jersey on the sideline with him, and he knows that along with all his other brothers, it's a completeness. It's completed by, even though he's not here in the physical shown, but he's here he's in spirit. And it lets us know that no matter what happens, no matter what we go through, we are a family. Just because one of us can't be with us at this point does not mean he will ever be forgotten. And we want to just make sure everybody knows that and show that out through the entire community. So I just thought that was a really cool thought and really powerful statement that Brandon said. So Brandon's been a big part of this season in the offense and special teams. So look for him to be in the last four games of the regular season and definitely in the playoffs.
Yeah, that certainly is a fantastic gesture from the St. Joe's Prep Hawks, bringing out the jersey of one of their teammates. I knew Ryan, and it's really special that the Hawks have done this, and it really shows a certain bond between the members of this team and shows how they really are a family. And the fact that they have that jersey is just so special to everyone involved. And I know my brother Thomas wrote an article for the Hawkeye. That's where we got that quote about that, and you can check that out. And Ricky also did a sideline report on it last week or 2 weeks ago. So multiple media sources getting after that lead. Great work by WSJP and the Hawkeye kind of combining efforts there in order to get that one. So, Ricky, I'm going to pose this one question to you, and then we're going to go into a break. So, what is your – if you could pick one player on the Hawks team, whether offense or defense, and you could say – or and you say that they will be the one starter that you would bring back next year, who would it be?
Well, the one starter that I want to bring back next year, should be coming back next year, is Zach Bogus, the junior cornerback. I think he's really shown his growth from playing through the program, freshman JV team, and then finally making his debut on varsity. He already has two interceptions on the year, but I definitely think that he could become a leader on the St. Joe's Prep team. And also, I think that his presence as a cornerback on this team is going to be very interesting as the season progresses, because I think he's going to be a key part on the defense the rest of the year.
Yeah, I certainly agree, Ricky. Zach Bogus is a fantastic player and certainly has shown all that he's worth this year. He has two interceptions on the year, leading the team and one of the top in the Catholic League in that respect. So we'll see what else he can bring this season. I think the one player that I would have to say is that I would want to bring back is strong safety Dawson DeJulius, because his hits are just so ferocious and he's such a fantastic player, so fast, so strong, that I think that without him next season, the Hawks might be at a little bit of a loss because they don't have a strong safety backing him up. Dawson plays practically every single play, whether they're up 35 or if they're down. So I think Dawson is going to be the key player for me for the rest of the season. But then again, there are so many fantastic players that the Hawks have that I don't think it should be an issue if he goes down with an injury, worst case scenario. So we're going to take a quick break here on WSJP, the executive order, our first of many. But when we come back, we'll be talking prep soccer, cross country, golf, crew, and many other topics. So make sure that you stay tuned.
Hi, I'm Dawson DeJulius. I play strong safety, and you're listening to WSJP, your home for St. Joe's Prep Hawks football. Go Prep! Hi, I'm junior cornerback Zachary Bogus, and you're listening to WSJP, your home for St. Joe's Prep Hawks football. Go Prep!
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to the executive order, part one, hopefully of many. So you just heard our nice sound bites of my favorite player, or not favorite player, but our key players, mine and Ricky's. You didn't hear John's because we don't have Brandon's sound bite just yet. But hopefully we're getting that one soon. So that'll do it for our football discussion here. But next, we're going to move on to the other fall sports, which certainly also deserve a lot of attention. The prep soccer team, while they may not have a fantastic record, they really have shown what they can do this season. They only lost against LaSalle just barely, and LaSalle's the best team in the league with a goalie who had, I believe, 13 clean sheets last season. So the fact that the Hawks were able to get something going against the Explorers certainly showed that they have a lot. They have a lot of talent to work with. Very young team, though. So, John, I'm just going to have you talk for a couple minutes about the past couple games for prep soccer.
Yeah, guys, the past couple games have been really well-fought games for the prep. They tied it 0-0 against a very good Penn Charter team. They beat McDevitt 6-1, and they just tied Archbishop Ryan this past Tuesday 2-2. Now, they're in their end of their season here, and closer toward the end of the regular season of play. Earlier in the season, there was a lot of struggle for the Hawks. And one big thing I saw in the couple games that I broke at the soccer against LaSalle and Carroll, that It was their passing. They didn't have strong passing parts. They didn't have a really good soccer IQ. Yes, the talent is there, but they just didn't have the chemistry at the time. Now, this is a very inexperienced team, very young team. They do have a couple senior leaders here on the team, but there's a lot of young guys on this team that really jumped from playing freshman last year all the way up to varsity. Now, there's a lot of talent, like I keep on saying, but the talent has been coming and the chemistry has been building in the past couple games as they were able to fight against two really good teams, Penn Charter and Archbishop Ryan, and they beat McDevitt 6-1. Now they play tomorrow night against Father Judge. Judge is one of the best teams in the Catholic League. So if they keep on fighting hard and play competitive like they have in the past couple games, there should be no problem for the Hawks. Now, I was talking to Joe Warrenberg, our WSJP member, along with the JV soccer team, and he was saying in the couple of losses they have, most especially against Roman Catholic, the Hawks beat the KLAs out in the game all, but the stats didn't show it. They were a much better team than Roman. They were on the ball more. They had the possession more. But that's just the chemistry wasn't there at that time. Now the chemistry is here. Now they're going to be fighting for a high spot in the Catholic League. With a tie or a win tomorrow against Judge, it'll move them into the fourth spot, maybe even three, depending on the other games around the Catholic League. So Coach Coyle has been forming this really well program after he took it over in December. So look for the Hawks to be a team to struggle with and fight with in the Catholic League playoffs.
And the Hawks season certainly isn't over yet. They have a lot of they have a lot of strong opponents ahead of them. They have a lot of Catholic League games remaining, especially in the playoffs. If they can get that far, they might have to face LaSalle again. And they have to play against Del Rand, who's a rather impressive team from New Jersey. I was talking to Riley Harriman earlier this week, and he was saying that Del Rand could end up smoking the Hawks, even though it's going to be senior night for the Hawks, so he's not exactly sure that he's going to get any time that game if he doesn't start. But we'll see if the Hawks are able to overcome the Ricky, do you know what the Del Rand mascot is?
The Del Rand Bears, of course, Dan.
Oh, great work, Ricky. We got two Jersey guys here on the broadcast with me, so I knew that somebody would know. But now we're going to move on to key players for the Hawks team. And I think my three, or I guess my four key players for the Hawks would be that entire defensive, not exactly front, but just the entire defensive unit. Left center back Christian Doyle, a sophomore. Right center back Tom Majira, also a sophomore. And then two seniors, center back Trey Fonsoa and goalkeeper Chris Ickes. I feel like they're the best players on the team. And in order for the Hawks to succeed throughout the rest of the season, I think that they're going to need to be the strongest unit on the team, especially facing high-powered offenses like the Bears and the LaSalle Explorers. Ricky, who are you thinking is going to be your key player?
Well, I think goalkeeper Aiden Hardy could be my key player. He's been playing a lot in recent games, and he's been playing pretty well. But I was also talking to junior striker Evan Thielak a couple days ago, and I asked him, what word describes this team? And he said, passion. We play with a lot of passion, and we come to every practice with a passion of winning. So I think as long as the team plays like that and Aiden Hardy plays the way he's capable of in goal, I think you should watch out for that prep soccer team.
Yeah, I think Evan Thielak is certainly one of the best players on the team. I think John's trying to tell me something, but I'm going to ignore him. I think that he's one of the fastest players on the team. He doesn't come off most of the time, and he's all around the field, whether as a striker or a midfielder. He's always getting to the ball, very physical player. He's small and shifty, but he's able to get there no matter – he's able to fight his way to the ball no matter what happens. So now we're going to bring in John. And John, I'm going to – I want to see who your key player is here.
No, Dan, I'm going to definitely agree with you. The defensive back for this Hawks team. Now, there's two out of the three defensemen are all sophomores, and they've been playing really well lately, especially I love seeing Christian Doyle and Tom Majira play against LaSalle and Carroll, two games to be broadcasted here on WSJP. They're just really smart players, especially that they're young players in this program. Majira had a really good game against LaSalle, and I was talking to him after school and during school, and he was saying the passion, like Ricky was saying, it's there every single practice. They just want to continue playing and getting better week by week, game by game, because we've seen that progression
of being improvements throughout the entire season. So I really like this defenseman for the Hawks. But Pat DeVinny and Evan Felak, they're two power threats up in the front for the Hawks. Felak is one of the fastest guys in the Catholic League, and he just scored again. He scored against Ryan to tie the game with just a couple seconds left on the clock. So he's a fast guy. He's a smart player, and both of those, DeVinny and Felak, have very high soccer IQs, and they're going to be big parts for the Hawks in the future.
All right, so before we wrap up soccer, just a couple other players that I want to mention who are key starters. John mentioned one of them, Pat DeVinny. Aiden O'Neill, also a fantastic player for the varsity team, even though he's only a sophomore. He plays striker, midfielder, whatever they need him to. And then the Ritchie brothers, Isaiah, a senior, and Kane, a sophomore, both incredibly fast. They have great shots, and they're both just phenomenal overall players. And then a player who's off the bench, Riley Harriman, he has the most powerful shot on the team. And even though he's not as fast as everybody thinks that a striker needs to be, I think that Riley is one of the best players on the team, and I think he's one of my favorite players to watch because of his powerful shot. So, now moving on, we're going to talk about cross-country. So, St. Joe's Prep cross-country team looks pretty good this season. I believe I heard on the announcements earlier they're 18-0 in the Catholic League this season. I don't know if that's factually accurate, but Mr. G said that, so I'm going to go with the Director of Student Activities and Transportation on that one. So, if they're 18-0 in the Catholic League, and that means that they're doing something right. I mean, Captain James Brooks, fastest kid on the team, he has the best time in the whatever they time. I don't really know a lot of cross-country terminology here. But he's the fastest player on the team, and followed up by Ricky Ropp and Calvin Willey, and Anthony Villari and Dennis Gallagher round out that they're two of the other players in that top seven. But one unfortunate happenstance for the Hawks is that they lost their top runner from last year, Pat Lori, who's been sidelined with a leg injury. He's on crutches, and I don't believe he's coming back at all this season. So hopefully we'll see him back next season as a captain. But unfortunately this year, the Hawks' best runner has been sidelined. So we'll see what the Hawks are able to do. But the best team in the Catholic League at cross-country is by far LaSalle. I was talking to James Brooks earlier this week, and he said that they're one of the top five teams in the state. And while James is the best kid on our team, he is slower than all top seven players or all top seven runners on the LaSalle team. So, Ricky, I don't think that bodes well for the Hawks.
Well, most definitely not. And I think that 18-0 record in the Catholic League might be broken soon whenever they face LaSalle, Dan.
Oh, Ricky, that's a bold prediction, but we'll see. We'll see how that one turns out. Hopefully, we'll be able to get some updates on that tweeted out on the SJP Broadcasting account and on the SJP_sports account. Make sure to follow us on both of those. And now, it looks like John has something to say about this topic. John, you want to butt in here?
Yeah, guys, I was talking to Anthony Villari this past weekend after the team did their race up in Hershey, and they played a very competitive event up in Hershey, and me, top schools in the state and a couple outside of the state. And, you know, even though the stats didn't show that they were top in the leaderboard, they still did a very well job, and it was a well-done competition for the Hawks out in Hershey. And the season has been going really well for the Hawks. Everybody's been cutting their times down. And as you mentioned, James Brooks is one of the fastest kids on the team. And the 18-0 doesn't surprise me when you have Kurt Cockenberg as your coach. Coach has been around in the BCL for a long time, and he has a lot of wisdom. And I got to talk to him over the summer, and he's just very excited for this team.
Coach Cockenberg also used to be a Cave and Sword director for a couple of years, so that's something that most people don't know. He directed a couple shows, but we'll be getting to the Cave and Sword segment of the show a little later on today. So, moving on from cross country, since we don't have all that much to talk about regarding that, we're going to talk about the St. Joe's Prep golf team, a.k.a. Prof. I came up with that just now. You've heard of Procky and Procker, but Prof, brand new one. What do you think, Rick?
Very interesting, Dan.
Thank you. I really appreciate that. So, the St. Joe's Prep golf squad, led by Andrew Gallagher, 18, the captain. And, Ricky, I understand you had a Hawkeye interview with Andrew earlier on this week. John happens to know his sister, took her to homecoming last year. So, John's a bit of a beast in that. But, Ricky, you did the interview with Andrew. So, you want to talk a little bit about that?
Well, you see, Dan, Andrew Gallagher, who's going to be...
upset about that. Ricky's having a bit of a laughing fit about John and the ladies. We all know John's a real lady killer, so we'll let Ricky gain his composure a little bit here, and I'll keep talking until Ricky's good. So, Ricky, you good now?
Well, then, Andrew Gallagher, he's been on the golf team since his freshman year when they won the state championship, and he's played a key role in bringing that varsity squad back to state in 2015 and losing in regionals in 2016 as well. But it's his second year as a captain, and when I talked to him about being a captain 2 years in a row, he realizes that others look up to him on his behavior and his tips, so he has to make sure he's always on his A-game to set a good example for the team, but he loves the added pressure. And Andrew Gallagher, being on the prep team when they won their championship, he sets a high expectation every time they go out on the course. He says that the goals this year are not different than any other year he's been playing for the team, because after winning the state championship, his expectations were always high. He thinks this year they have the talent to make another impressive run. And when I talked to him about how does one make an impressive run like this, he said that basically they just got to be mentally stronger than anyone else they go against in the future. Golf is a mental game, and throughout the years, the prep has always been known for being mentally stronger than the opponent. But it is his last year on the team. He's been playing here for 4 years under Coach Patrick Oney. And he said that the golf program has basically been his life for the past 4 years. And he doesn't go 5 minutes without thinking about the next match or beating myself up about dropping a few shots on the previous nine. But he has to thank the coaches for giving him a great chance and pushing him along the way. But he dreads the day when his senior season ends because he loves his team to death. So, but that's not the end of the road for Andrew Gallagher. After his prep career, he intends to play at least club golf at Villanova University with the possibility of walking onto the team. But one of the things he's definitely going to do after this season, Dan, is continue playing in golf tournaments for the rest of his life because he loves the beautiful game of golf.
So Andrew most likely headed to Villanova University. John started giving a couple of fist pumps there. Two of John's favorite things, Villanova, New Jersey, and the Gallagher family. So a lot of John's favorite things being incorporated into the St. Joe's Cup golf team. So they've had a pretty successful season so far. They faced off against LaSalle early compared to most of the other teams. So they're looking to beat LaSalle again, or I don't know if they beat them the first time, really. Ricky, you have any idea?
I'm assuming they beat them.
All right, great. Yeah, so we're going to say that they beat LaSalle. We're going to go with that one. Dom agrees. So hopefully the Hawks are able to beat them again in the PIAA playoffs. That should certainly be interesting. The Hawks won the state championship a couple years ago, and we'll see if they're able to advance that far again this season. So, moving on from golf, our final topic of discussion as far as sports goes, we're going to be talking about St. Joe's Prep crew. So, they're bringing into the season a brand new head coach, John Fife, class of 98, coming back to the prep. He was at Dallas Jesuit, turned them into a powerhouse in the past 12 or 13 years, I believe. And I've been told from a couple of different players, or rowers, I guess, not players, that he's a more rigorous coach than Coach Glavin was. He already has them staying until 7 or 7:30 at night, even though it's only fall and they don't have any races, really, until the spring. So he's more rigorous than Coach Glavin, but hopefully he'll be able to get the results that the Hawks need. I know that they have a couple really strong rowers in this class, so we'll see if the Hawks are able to get out to a strong start when the spring comes around, hopefully win a couple of the big regattas that happen on Schuylkill and maybe advance to nationals and stuff like that. And John, since we had Ricky talk about golf, you have anything to say about crew?
Yeah, Dan, as you said, Coach Fife has been a little bit more vigorous as Coach Glavin was, and really changed the style of the program itself. He's a clean house of coaches. He has all brought an entire new coaching staff here at the prep. And the players, the rowers, as Dan said, they they know it's going to be more competitive, but they're seeing more positive and more impact coming from this team, from this coach. And they just want to get their that final goal, get to Nationals and win Nationals as they do every year. But they think they're going to have more. They're going to have some a lot of success here under Coach Fife.
Sorry about that little break there. I was I was doing a little research on the golf team. I was trying to look it up on the prep website to see if they did, in fact, beat LaSalle. I haven't gotten there yet. So, Ricky, I'm going to have you talk a little bit about the crew team real quick.
Well, crew, we know it's not a simple sport. It's more than just rowing a boat. But I think one of the key players to watch out for on this crew team, if there is anybody key, would be Connor Thompson, the coxswain. I mean, he sits at the head of the boat. And he basically controls everything, so look for him to be a key factor in the crew team's success this year.
Well, Ricky, I don't know about that one. That was a bold prediction. I don't even think he's going to be the varsity eight. Coxswain, but we'll see. Ricky's prediction there. Not really sure if that was going to come to fruition, but we'll see.
Dan, we have some breaking news. According to John Liuzzi, Prep actually lost to LaSalle in golf. So.
Oh, my apologies, everyone. I Dom's yelling at me now, even though he gave me the confirmation to say that on air. So I don't really know what's happening here. But sorry to give out the false information there. John, thank you for giving us that report. But do we have anything else to say about crew, or do we want to go into another commercial break? What do you guys think? We're going to leave this one up to the fans. Studio audience, what do you think? Should we go to a break? All right. Pat and John think we should go to a break. So we are going to go to a break. But when we come back, we'll be talking about the new schedule, newsies, Michigan Ministry Shakeup, and a whole lot more. So make sure that you stay tuned on blogtalkradio.com/WSJP.
Hi, my name is Christopher Purtis, English teacher at St. Joe's Prep. And when I can't make it to the game, I make sure to tune in to WSJP so I can follow all of the action.
I'm senior linebacker Bradley Coble, and you're listening to WSJP, your home for St. Joe's Prep Hawks football. Go Prep.
All right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to our presentation of the executive order. Hopefully this will be just our pilot episode. We'll have a lot more to come in the coming months and years, hopefully, as WSJP continues to move on. So our next topic to address, moving beyond sports, we're going to talk about the new schedule here at St. Joe's Prep. So for those who are uninformed of that, we moved from an eight period a day to six periods with built-in lunch and community period, and it's a rotating class schedule now, so it's basically a modified block. Personally, I absolutely adore this new schedule because coming into this year, I had never had a free period before, and now I have two or three a day, and it's pretty fantastic. I think it was Friday. I had community hour free, community hour even though it's only 50 minutes. Then I had third period free, and then I had lunch free, and then I had another free. So I had 190 minutes free, I believe. So, yeah, that was a fantastic day. I love me some F days. And then I think Monday it was, I had fourth and sixth free. So this schedule has been fantastic for me. Last year I had eighth lunch, so I didn't eat until 2 o'clock. This year I eat at 11:35. And the community period allows for me to go to WSJP meetings, Hawkeye meetings. I went to the open art studio Miss Hilton hosted. I went to the chess club the other day. Mission Ministry has meetings. I do a ton of things around here, so it's kind of hard for me to juggle my time. So now that we have the community period and I can have some meetings during that time, it's been really helpful for me. And then teams and clubs can still meet after school. Like I had frisbee practice the other day, and we have WSJP meetings every Monday after school. So happening during the community period, but also things can happen after school as well. So Ricky, I'm going to give you first crack here. What's your opinion of the new schedule? Because I know John has some strong opinions about it, so we'll go to you first, and that way we'll segue nicely.
Well, I definitely like the component of the community hour, but as Mr. Fien says, why do they call it an hour if it's only 50 minutes?
Oh, I know. Well, I don't understand why we can't call it a community, period.
Regardless, it's still nice to get to try out some different clubs, catch up on your studies in the study hall, which a lot of kids elect to. So that's another conversation for another time. And but I don't really like the lunch component. It's a little confusing right now. Lunch one, lunch two, lunch three. Some days I know my lunch is only 5 minutes. So that's one thing I dislike about this schedule, especially when the days I need the free periods don't come up. So you might like the F days, but they're not so happy for me.
Yeah, I mean, I think I got kind of lucky as a senior going into this because seniors and freshmen automatically have one lunch. I have first lunch as a senior, and freshmen have third lunch because I have a 45-minute third period, then I have a 30-minute lunch, and then a 65-minute fourth period. Freshmen have the opposite with 65 minutes and then 30 minutes and then 45-minute fourth period. But sometimes, Ricky, you and John have 65, 5 or 10-minute lunch, and then another 65. So I know that's kind of rough on you guys, but I'm loving it. So, John, I know that you've been just chomping at the bit to talk about this one. What do you got to say for us?
No, guys, I do like – there is some positives towards this new schedule, and I do like having the community period and built-in free time. But the one thing I have against the community period is that the whole point that Father Swope said in the interview I had with him on the WSJP pregame show down in Tampa, that is the community period is supposed to bring more breathing room to students. Now, and also for those athletes to get homework done because they're going to have to leave school if they have an early dismissal. But you can't get homework done if the teachers don't post homework in the morning. And now I know you might not have that class in the morning before the community period takes place after second period, but a lot of kids like to get a head start on their homework. I personally like to get a head start on my homework, so I'm not up late until 11 o'clock doing homework. But, you know, there's a lot of positives. There's a lot of new changes to the schedule. I feel like it's going to be – it's affecting and influencing those athletes more than us students who are not athletes, since those athletes might not be missing the same class every single dime, every single time that they have an early dismissal. But as Ricky said, the lunch period is also very confusing. I know there's one day, I believe it's C day, I have a 5-minute lunch. I go from a 65-minute Latin 3 class with Mr. Mullen all the way to a 65-minute AP English with Mr. Carney. So I really don't have time to eat lunch. Now, I do have that last period free in the day, but that's not until 2 o'clock, so I don't eat lunch until late in day. Now, the rotating schedule is nice because I like not having every class at the same time every day, just because if there's a test that day, that class might be moved up. I might have it fresher on my mind than reviewing it during a free period. But also, there's no bells with this new schedule, you guys. The teachers don't really know when classes start, when they really don't start, and what time they end at. I know, like Ricky said, Mr. Fien, he doesn't know what time a class ends or what time a class starts. He doesn't really know who he meets with every single day. Because, you know, every class doesn't meet with their teacher every single day, as they meet for 3 days, have a drop day, and they go back. So there's a lot of confusion still with the schedule.
Ricky, quick rebuttal. Hey, quick review of what John said. One of the things Mr. Feeney has done to solve those issues is designate a teacher's assistant who will tell him when to... I am not the teacher's assistant. It is actually offensive lineman for the prep football team, Alex Spade. But Mr. Feeney will designate a teacher's assistant to tell him where the class left off, when the period's supposed to end. And he puts all of his trust in one guy. It's a great idea, but better than having Mr. Connor start off every class. And did we meet yesterday? Alex Spade, certainly a trustable guy, as you can expect. A newcomer to the football team, but we're going to talk about football, so let's not move back into that. But I just want to say that I am a huge fan of the new schedule. It's so much easier than the past couple of years. Regardless of what John and Ricky say, I think, my personal opinion, I love all the free time that I've been allowed. And I honestly, I think that this new schedule is working out perfectly for the school, and I think regardless of the lunch confusion, I think that everything is going pretty well with the new schedule. Just an update here. We have lost our entire studio audience, and it's only the three of us remaining, so hopefully that cuts out any background noise or laughter that you guys hear. A couple of our club members were in here just messing around, watching us do the broadcast. So it was fun having a nice little studio audience, kind of like a real radio show, John. And I know that John has been pointing to me for about 10 minutes at this point, so we're going to throw John back on the mic.
No, I do think there is a positive to the community period, like you're saying, Dan. There's a lot of new clubs that formed in the community period, as these clubs don't have to meet after school. They can just meet during this 50-minute community period, an hour, as they call it, but it's not really an hour. It's only 50 minutes. But, like, it benefits those clubs, like WSJP. We've gotten a lot of new members just from the community period itself. Now, those members have stayed with us throughout the – we have some returning members. We got some new members, but they also come to our afternoon meetings. Now, a lot of clubs have just started up. Like the Classic Club, they only meet during the community period. That it benefits the student body being more involved in clubs and all. So I think that's really one of the key parts that the administration really wanted to have this community period established.
And John, I do want to ask you one quick question. Are you a member of the Courses on Ilum? Did you get elected?
I did not.
John didn't get elected. So I feel bad for John. He didn't get one of the, 8 spots on the Courses on Ilum. But unfortunately, John's not a member of that. But he will be taking part in the gladiator races later on, or the chariot races and the gladiator competitions. We'll keep you guys updated on how John's doing in those competitions. We're certainly rooting for him here. I'll probably make a couple appearances at the Classic Club, as long as I have nothing else to do that day. Ricky, you wanted to say something.
Well, before we get into that point about John Lauzi, he's definitely a player to watch in that chariot race. There's all that one.
This will be a little bit out of hand, guys. But one thing I do need to mention real quick, John did have a back injury, so I'm not sure if he'll be able to participate in the gladiator matches, but we'll keep you updated on that. Check our Twitter for updates on that. He is questionable. He's doubtful to return. So, Ricky, go ahead.
But I have one question for either you or Dan or John. That being, why do you think kids do not sign up for too many things during the community period?
I think, well, personally, as a senior, I think a lot of kids, I know for a fact that there are a lot of kids that really enjoy going to Mr. Lynch's classroom for the study hall. So a lot of kids don't sign up and then just immediately go up to the 5th floor of Jesuit Hall in order to be in Mr. Lynch's room. It's actually kind of hilarious because I go up to the 5th floor 2 days a week to go to the Hawkeye meetings, and I see all these kids coming up with me just to go to Mr. Lynch's room, and it's kind of hilarious. But I think a lot of kids just don't want to be involved. They want to get their schoolwork done for some odd reason. I mean, I know I haven't gone to study hall a single time, but there was something like 700 kids last week that were in study hall one day, and I find that absolutely ridiculous because students should be getting involved, and that's a critical part of being a high school student and being a teenager as a whole. And I think that in order to truly get through the core personalis education that St. Joseph gives you, I think you need to immerse yourself in clubs that the school offers, which is why all of us here are members of multiple clubs, and we're highly dedicated in all of them, most specifically WSJP, as hopefully you have all been able to notice. And now we have Ned Burke joining us as our studio audience. Thank you, Ned, coming directly from crew practice, isn't it, Ned? Yeah, great work by Ned, multi-sport athlete, WSJP and crew.
That's my new player to watch, Dan.
Yeah, absolutely. And, John, you have once again been pointing at me for a couple of minutes, so we're going to throw this one back to you.
Yeah, you guys say there's some problems with signing up for these community periods. Now, every student has to sign up through this website called the prepapp.com, but half the time the app is not working. And if you don't sign up for something at 9 o'clock, by 9 o'clock the previous night, you're going to be defaulted into a study hall. Now, imagine trying to put 500-some-plus kids into five rooms for study hall. The rooms only fit up to 40 people. There's some struggle there. And I totally agree with you, Dan, that the entire point of the community period and the prep wanted it to be is to get the students involved. I'm not really sure why the students are not being involved more, though. So hopefully that changes within the next couple weeks.
One thing that I really don't understand is how people have such problems with the prep app. I mean, I have never once had a single problem with it. So I don't know if it's just something that I'm doing right or something other people are doing wrong. Ricky, I know that you ended up in the wrong room today. That wasn't your fault, though. He went to the Hawkeye meeting that he thought was today, but it's actually tomorrow. So we'll see if Ricky's able to figure out his different schedules. But I think the thing is you need to look at it every night just to make sure that you're in the right room. And I think it is partially on the teachers to make sure that they're updating it correctly, because there's a lot of, I don't really want to call it dumb, but I kind of have to. I mean, a lot of them schedule things for only specific people to sign up. Like, I know, I mean, I am an editor for the Hawkeye, so this doesn't really pertain to me, but there's an editor's only meeting for the Hawkeye on Fridays, and there's a full staff meeting on Tuesdays or something like that. So there have been random kids that have showed up at the Hawkeye editor's meeting because they thought that it was just a full staff meeting. So I think that we need to figure something out in order to have, like, an exclusive, only a certain amount of people able to sign up for things. That is something that I would recommend working on. But I think if nobody else has any comments, we're going to move on to our next topic. Ricky, you got anything before we move on?
I think we hit all of it, Dan.
Fantastic. So our next topic, let me play a quick commercial real quick, and then we'll get into this topic. So just stay tuned.
The Cape and Sword Drama Society at St. Joe's Prep is one of four schools in the nation to debut Disney's Newsies. The dates of the run are November 10th through 12th and 15th through 19th, and tickets are going fast. So visit www.sjprep.org/newsies in order to secure some tickets. WSJP has a couple club members involved, namely Simon Williams playing the characters of Albert and Spot Conlon. Dan Abington is playing the lighting manager. Thomas Abington is the assistant lighting manager, and Jackson Chamberlain takes part in the stage crew. So make sure to scoop up some tickets for this historic show and see your WSJP favorites along the way. Once again, that's www.sjprep.org/newsies. Go Prep!
Now do you guys understand why I played that commercial?
I think it makes perfect sense, Dan.
It segued right into our next topic, which is the Cape and Sword Drama Society's fall production of Newsies. They are one of four, are one of four schools in the nation selected to pilot Newsies for Disney. I know Mr. Braithwaite has to keep tabs of exactly what he's doing and changes he's making to the script in order to adapt it for a high school version. That way, when something like Newsies comes out, for all high schools, they'll have something to go off of and say, these are things that high schools did in the pilot production and things like that. So that's the point of the pilots here. But the story of Newsies is, I'm trying not to give anything away, it's a story about newsboys in 1899 who go on strike against Joseph Pulitzer, and they complain about the price of wages, or their wages going up for the papers, and inhumane work conditions and stuff like that. And it's a rousing musical, which is kind of perfect for St. Joe's Prep. There's a song in there about seizing the day, and it's pretty much an all-male cast. There's four girl parts, the main love interest, a nun, or three nuns, two dancers, and one other woman who's kind of the owner of a theater in the area. So Only four girls were cast, unfortunately, because a lot of girls auditioned. So sorry to everybody out there who didn't get cast in Newsies, but the show is going to be fantastic. Over two-thirds of tickets were sold in just under 48 hours. So that certainly shows you something. Three performances already sold out, and I believe over 1,700 tickets have been sold already. So if you're trying to go to see Newsies, make sure you get your tickets soon. I think the run potentially is going to be extended two more shows. That's not really known yet, so I don't want to give anything away there, but the run might be extended if you're unable to get tickets. Check back at some later date because you might be able to get some, but they're going fast. So if you really want to see it, make sure you get your tickets. Four WSJP guys involved. So as I mentioned on that commercial, see a historic show, watch your WSJP favorites along the way. Couldn't have a better combination, Rick.
I know you're doing the lights on that show, Dan.
That's correct, Ricky.
I'm sure they're going to be the best lights out of the four schools.
Oh, Ricky, I appreciate that so much. That is such a huge compliment.
Best,
yeah,
best stage manager.
Thank you.
Existence right here.
Yeah, I mean, I'm no longer the stage manager, but I was the best stage manager in existence. Now I'm just a lighting manager. I decreased my role a little bit. That way I could up my role in WSJP a little bit more, focus more of my time on it, even though thank you, guys. I appreciate the applause. Even though I put a lot of time into WSJP, I figured I had to do a little more because our grind never stops, as all of you guys know out there. But, yeah, lighting is a really cool experience for me. My brother also participates in it. He's one of my assistants, so I get to boss him around. So, you know, that's a lot of fun. But, yeah, basically I just control the lights for the show. And during the show, my job is kind of easy. I just kind of push a button every time. But during Tech Week and Production Week, my job is pretty difficult, having to figure out all the lights in the show. So lights are certainly not easy for everybody out there. So if you're looking to go into lights, it's not exactly an easy profession, Ricky.
I wasn't expecting it to be, Dan, considering the great technician you are on WSJP and in the theater. No one could give you a better job for that.
Oh, thank you, Rick. John, you want to mention anything about Newsies real quick?
No, I've been talking to a lot of guys on the cast, and they're just really excited for this opportunity to be one of the four schools to pilot this show for Disney before it goes out to the entire country. They just really want to embrace on this moment and really take all advantage of this moment and opportunity for them to do, and they're just really excited.
Just want to mention a couple of the leads in the show. James DeCoco is playing the lead role of Jack Kelly. He transferred in from Radnor as a junior, so James made his break in Cape and Sword really quickly last year. He played football, but he quit in order to have a more full-time Cape and Sword experience. Matt Phillips will be playing Davy Jacobs, who's kind of the brainchild of the whole strike. Les Jacobs is played by Joe Mastwa. He plays a little kid. Paul Koenig plays Crutchy, who's Jack's best friend. Walks with a little bit of a limp, so you'll be able to see Paul taking a disability. It looks pretty real, though. Let me tell you guys that. And then Catherine Kristen plays the main love interest, and our very own Simon Williams, he plays Albert, who's one of the lead Newsies, and he also plays Spot Conlon, who's the lead Brooklyn Newsie. So Simon, with a pretty big role, I know that you guys have probably seen him on the stage in the past. He was fantastic in Peter and the Starcatcher and a couple other shows in the past. So make sure to get your tickets for Newsies, because you want to see your WSJP guys along the way. So, moving on to our final topic. Ricky, do you want to introduce this one for us? I've been introducing them all day. I feel like you should do this one. What do you think?
Well, Dan, it's an honor to say that our next topic of discussion will be the mission and ministry shakeup.
Oh, wow. You want to go into a little more depth, or you want me to do that?
Well, so far, Mr. Deitch, he's the only guy remaining in that part of the building. They're bringing in guys like Mr. Duchel, Mr. Simon, and Father Federico. I know you are very associated with the mission and ministry wing of the building.
But yeah, I mean, I eat lunch there every day, so I'm pretty friendly with all the guys in there. Mr. Deitch and I are good friends, the director of Ignatian Service. Mr. Duchel, now the campus minister, he ran Freshman Retreat, and he will be leading all the Kairoses. Mr. A.J. Simon, an AFC member this year, he just does miscellaneous things, but he certainly has a big role in the department. And then Father Federico, the director of Mission Ministry, so he oversees everything. in addition to being our chaplain. So one of two priests that are the St. Joe's Prep campus, Father Federico, a fantastic guy, along with Mr. Duchel and Mr. Simon. They're all fantastic dudes overall. And Mr. Deitch, always willing to talk if you want to go in there. So, John, I know that you were also a member of the Freshman Retreat leadership team. So do you want to talk a little bit about the mission and ministry leadership and just how everything's been going so far?
Yeah, Dan, as you mentioned, I was part of the Freshman Retreat team along with you, Simon, Ned Burke over here. And, you know, there was a lot of change through the summer, but change is good, especially in this kind of thing. And you're just trying to bring different ideas, different views of our Catholic religion into the school. And with all the new additions, they've done really well done job. Father Federico really wants to embrace being better, have better relationship with Jesus and God. And he's definitely doing that. And I talked to him during lunch today, and he's just a really, really nice guy. He's down to earth. He'll talk about anything. And, you know, and that's what the entire mission and ministry department is. They just want you to come there during your lunch, sit down on the couches, all brand new couches. They just got a brand new TV where you can play Xbox. I played Xbox against Nick Materic today. Unfortunately, I came out with the loss, overtime loss. But big L for myself there. But, you know, it's just a really fun place to be. It's just a really cool place. So they've done a really nice job. There's a lot of more to come from them this year.
Yeah, and just highlighting a couple things going on in mission ministry as the year goes on. Want to make some people out there aware of the service opportunities. One of my favorite things that I've done at the prep is Operation Santa Claus around Christmas time. I've done it 3 years in a row. I got a ton of service hours for it, but that's certainly not the reason why I do it. What you do is you go out and you buy gifts for underprivileged children from the area, and they give you a list of what they want for Christmas. And sorry to spoil this out there, or sorry to spoil this for people out there, but we're buying gifts for the parents. We're not. Santa's real, John. I don't know what you were trying to say, but we're being very nice. It's a very nice gesture, buying gifts for the kids. And it's overall just a fantastic experience. And then the week after, there's a party where the kids can come and have fun, and they can play different games and do different arts and crafts and stuff like that. And it's just overall a fantastic time. They can take pictures with Santa. There are different elves and stuff like that, so that's always a fun time. And other things in mission ministry, the first Kairos coming up this week, the October Kairos, I went on that last year. John and Ricky, I know that you guys will be going pretty soon. Not the October one necessarily, but you guys will be going soon, so hopefully you guys will enjoy that one. That's a great experience. We just had the freshman retreat, sophomore retreat, Montserrat coming up, and then hopefully a senior retreat later on in the year. But there's plenty of service opportunities all the time. If you just check, if you go to Mission Ministry, there's things posted all over the wall. Mr. D sends out emails most weeks about everything that's happening in the department. So lots of things happening in Mission Ministry. And, I mean, if you have any questions, feel free to contact Simon, John, Ricky, or I. I mean, we can answer questions or we can direct you to somebody else. Yeah, hit us up on Twitter at SGP Broadcasting or hit us up on our personal pages. Mine's at DM916. I'm not going to give John a Ricky's. So give me some more followers. Or feel free to DM me or something. I was going to make more Gallagher joke there, John, but I can't. So let's see. What did I want to say there? Oh, yeah. So, Mission Ministry, if you have anything, if you have any questions, feel free to contact one of the four of us. We should have an answer for you. Or just go directly to Mission Ministry if you don't want to deal with the four goofy WSJP executives, as you can tell throughout this show. But in real life, I'm actually pretty smart and serious. So, final thoughts. Ricky, what do you got to say?
Well, just so the people at home know, John is okay after hearing all that banging in the background. It was with his hand, not his head, so he's okay. But I think the prep has a lot going on, so this, in the title, says the first of many. It certainly won't be the last of nothing.
All right, Rick. Great comment there. Thomas, everything groaning after that one. Not exactly great insight from Richard. John, what do you want to mention real quick? 5 seconds, go.
Yeah, like Dan, like Ricky said, Dan, there's a lot of changes here at the prep.
All right, that was 5 seconds. All right, John, I'll give you a try.
All right, thanks for that, Dan. But like Ricky said, there's a lot of changes going on here at the prep. A lot of good changes, a lot of changes to see. Hopefully they all turn out positive as the administration sees. There's a lot of good sports here at the prep. All these sports teams are very competitive. They're always competitive in their league itself. The Catholic League is one of the toughest leagues. They definitely prove that. And, you know, I'm just excited that we got this show happen, Dan. This has been a year in the making and the first of many, as Ricky said.
All right, so one thing I just want to alert everybody out there of, we have a lot of broadcasts coming up in the next couple weeks. Next Saturday is the Prep vs. Roman football game. So John will be on play-by-play for that one. Not exactly sure his color analyst, so I'm not going to go into that at this moment in time. John will have play-by-play for that game. And then the week after that will be the Father Judge game. I will be doing play-by-play in that one. So make sure that you definitely tune in for that one. Thomas Abington will be involved in that in some way. And then the game against LaSalle the week after, me and Big Rick, I got play-by-play. Ricky's got color. That's going to be a fantastic one. And then the game against Rochester Ryan the week after, Ricky's on play-by-play for his second time ever. So we'll see how Ricky does in that. Ricky is leaving the room currently, so goodbye, Ricky. But WSJP lives on, even though Ricky left the room. Thomas, what do you got to say real quick?
Hello, everybody. How are you?
Thomas came directly from Frisbee practice to be here, just like Ned came from crew practice. So dedicated WSJP guys up in this biz. I don't know why I said that. But plenty of WSJP stuff coming up in the next couple weeks. So make sure you stay tuned on our Twitter at SJP Broadcasting for updates regarding each and every broadcast. And at SJPrep_sports for the live scores and stats from every prep game. So I think that'll do it for us here from WSJP. This has been our very first The Executive Order show, our first of many, hopefully. John didn't get originally that was a political pun. But thank you, everybody, for tuning in. Hope you have a great night. For the rest of our crew, I'm Dan Addington, and go Prep.
You're listening to WSJP, your home for St. Joe's Prep Sports year-round, only on Blog Talk Radio.